And welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And how long have we been on the air now?
17,523 weeks.
Or 9.
Or 9 weeks.
Yeah, because it says on the top of our script, episode 9.
Episode 9.
Which I have all pages of this time.
Episode 9.
Yes, episode 9. We've been, this is our
9th. Return of the Jedi?
No, this is our 9th week.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's going to fly.
Oh, no. It's not one of these. Can you guess what the theme is this week?
Hey, can you guess what the theme is this week?
Are we going to get off the ground today?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but Dave's over there piloting the board, so maybe.
As long as the tailwind's going.
Yes. Just help me that I don't crash and burn. Anyway, the national holidays for today from www.nationalholidayinsights.com or something like that for the week of August 21st through 27th.
Be an Angel Day, 8/22.
La.
Talk about up in the air. The object of this day is to be like an angel and to do something good or kind for someone. It encourages us to be God's servant and doing good things for others. It is intended to be something nice or kind of. For someone who is in need of or is in need of help. The type of angelic help you can offer is not defined or limited. It can be physical, emotional, and or spiritual.
Aww. Ta-da. That's so nice. But one of our angels has left us.
They have?
One of our studio rats. They don't know. We have like 20 people here in the morning. See?
Yeah,
John. The amazing John.
What happened to John?
I don't know. The minute I started talking, he left.
He just disappeared.
He did. Into the wild blue.
He flew out of here.
He did.
Oh, buddy.
But Cat is still here. I mean, me, Cat, and the other cat.
Cats are here.
Yes, cats are here. Meow.
And I'm Joe, between the cats.
Okay. Oh, today is also, or not today, there's the mall rat, John. Hello there, he's back.
He flew right back in.
The 23rd is Ride the Wind Day. This is a carefree day to soar above the earth. You can catch a ride with the breeze or float along like a gentle, late summer cloud. Summer will soon be over. Yeah, okay, I know that.
Jeez, thanks for that.
Catching the drift of this day is really easy. You just relax and let the wind carry you away in whatever direction it is blowing, just kind of like one of those things up in the air. Leave your troubles and worries behind for a spell and waft in the air.
How fortuitous that one is.
Mm-hmm.
Birthdays this month.
See what these have in common.
Uh-huh. August 22nd, 1834. Samuel Pierpont Langley, astronomer and aviation pioneer. August 24th, 1944. Gregory Jarvis, astronaut, died in the Challenger space shuttle.
And this day in history,
dun,
1959, Hawaii becomes the 50th state.
Straight?
Yeah, it's hard to walk there. You usually have to...
That's
swim
because...
or something else. And August 23rd, 1966, the first picture of Earth from the moon was taken by Lunar Orbiter 1.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was 6.
66, I would have been
yeah. Younger than me. The 25th of August in 1932, here's a big hint, Amelia Earhart completes her transcontinental flight.
Wow.
So, what do you think, Joe? The theme for the day?
Balloons.
No.
Oh, up in the air?
Kinda. Yes, today is up in the air. I would say definitely today is up in the air.
Shall we say flying?
We shall say flying.
Up in the air.
Yes.
Excellent.
That song was about balloons.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So.
Or other things.
The curious saying or word that I found today is fly by night.
Fly by night.
Yeah. Have you heard that before?
Rush.
Okay. Kind of. From phrases.org.uk. I've heard this phrase used to refer to fly-by-night contractors, people who come into a tornado-ravaged area, do some shoddy repair work, and then leave the area. Fly-by-night was originally an ancient term of reproach to an old woman, signifying she is a witch, according to Gross's Dictionary of Vulgar Tongue. I need to get that, the Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue. From a witch flying about at night on a broom, the term was applied at the beginning of the 19th century to anyone who flies hurriedly from a recent activity, usually a business activity and usually at night, someone who is a swindler whose activities are fraudulent. When I read stuff from phrases.org.uk, I just have to have kind of a little lilt in my voice. I don't know why.
That sounded more Scottish than it did
Whatever, it's all the UK.
The first fly-by-night operator recorded in English made his appearance in Thomas Love Peacock's novel Maid Marian, a period of the Robin Hood legend in which a character refers to Maid Marian and the outlaw. Will you have her married to an old fly-by-night that act... Tongue twisters today. Would you have her married to an old fly-by-night that accident made an earl and nature a deer stealer?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Maid Marian.
From worddetective.com, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, fly-by-night was indeed used in England in the 1800s as a term for a type of light, usually two-wheeled carriage. The fly, as they were commonly known, was originally drawn or pushed by a man who was later mercifully and probably more efficiently replaced by a horse.
Ta-da.
Men should be replaced by horses.
Hey.
That fly-by-night, however, has no real connection with fly-by-night in the sense we usually hear it. Then why are they bringing it up? Meaning something done surreptitiously or someone who operates in a dishonest fashion. The first use of this sense in the early 1800s was quite literal. A fly-by-night was a deadbeat tenant who vacated his lodgings in the middle of the night to avoid the wrath of his landlords or other creditors. From there, fly-by-night was expanded to include just about any sort of disreputable behavior, especially if the malefactor skedaddled as soon as his foul deed was done.
From Wiktionary.com, the phase implies that the quality work done or goods sold is shoddy enough that the person responsible must leap down under the cover of darkness to evade angry customers or sometimes legal authorities. The earliest use of this phrase is said to have been a reproach for women, signifying that she was a witch. Not going there.
Okay, listeners, vote on which of those you think is correct.
All right.
Guess what I have?
A top 15 list.
I have a top 5 list from top5.com, which we both write for.
And this now has?
12.
12
things.
Today. All right.
Yes.
Sweet.
It's top 5 list. It has 12 things. These are the top 12 things that don't ease your fear of flying.
Don't ease your fear of flying.
Top 12 things that don't ease your fear of flying. Are you afraid to fly?
No.
Okay.
I love it.
You might be after this list.
Never.
Number 12. As you're waiting to board, you see your pilot buying extra life insurance.
That would make you afraid. Number 11. When someone gets up at mid-flight to head to the lavatory, the stewardess yells, "Dead man walking!"
Number 10. Each passenger is being asked to bring a quart of oil in their carry-on.
Number 9. Watching a flight attendant demonstrate how to attach your seatbelt, put on the oxygen mask, inflate your life vest, treat whiplash, apply a tourniquet, and settle a flight insurance claim.
Number 8. The first class seat next to you is reserved for the spare tire changer and his spare tire.
You know, I've heard of fat jokes, but I mean, that's
that was
making,
pretty bad. Yeah,
that's really
nothing personal, Joe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, making fun of my tires. In addition to being able to purchase drinks, snacks, entertainment options, and pillow, the flight attendant offers an array of parachutes and casualty insurance options.
This is your stewardess speaking. Are there any other pilots on board?
Number 5. Hello? And we are thanking you for flying with us outsourced air today.
Greetings. This is your pilot speaking. Since I know many of you are seeing Manhattan for the first time, I'm going to fly really low so you can get a great look at the buildings.
Number 3. As passengers file onto the plane, you overhear the pilot muttering, "Gosh, I guess we really are doing this then."
And number 2. You notice that the identification badge on your pilot's lapel is for Taco Bell.
And the number 1 thing that doesn't ease your fear of flying?
The pilot's guide dog has a major attitude problem.
Ta-da!
Ta-da. Isn't that fun?
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remind me not to go on that airline.
Yeah. Dumb criminal news. This was easy. I just typed in the word fly and pages came up. This one is entitled, "Do Not Pass Go, Do Not Collect $46,950.
Okay.
A woman who apparently stuffed $46,950 in cash in her bra before trying to board a plane to Texas for plastic surgery has sued a federal agency demanding the return of her money. The money was seized from Ilana Valdez, 26 years old, after a security check at a metal detector at Logan International Airport. Valdez told authorities she was heading to Texas for plastic surgery on her buttocks and breasts.
I don't know why she was carrying it. slash the cash in a bra, said Boston lawyer Tony B. Blaze, who filed the suit in the U.S. District Court in Boston on behalf of Valdez.
Would you hire an attorney named Tony Blaze?
You know.
No, anyway.
With the name of Valdez and you're talking about sinking? I don't know.
And bras. Okay. In her suit, Valdez said a male Drug Enforcement Administration agent told her she had a nice body and didn't need surgery, and then he seized the cash, claiming it was drug money.
Actually, I think that stuffing in your bra is perfectly reasonable. How else would you feel safe flying with nearly $50,000 in cash? I certainly wouldn't check it at the gate. Any number of people could open your case and take it, especially considering the TSA doesn't want you to lock your checked luggage anymore. I also wouldn't put it on my carry-on and let some $10-an-hour X-ray babysitter have access to it. The way they are pilfering lighters, charm braces, and even the Congressional Medal of Honor, and then selling them for profit, I certainly wouldn't trust them around any large amounts of cash.
So, why did she have the cash stuffed in her bra, you may ask?
I ask, why did she have the bra?
Well, maybe she was afraid that some overzealous government agent would confiscate it and refuse to give it back.
Ta-da.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and we have timely news.
Timely news.
Timely news from Odd Headlines.
Odd.
Xfinity.comcast.net. But this was also in your local Akron Beacon Journal, Plain Dealer, and any other newspaper in Ohio.
Oh, yes, I remember
yes,
this.
Yes, Ohio 94 wakes up to blimp that landed in yard. And I get to play the part of the 94-year-old woman on this one.
Excellent.
A 94-year-old woman who woke up to discover that a breakaway blimp from a nearby airport had landed in her backyard said she heard a bang during stormy weather but didn't realize what happened until police knocked on her door about 7 hours later.
The 128-foot-long blimp broke free of its moorings at the Columbus Airport during strong winds early Sunday, then drifted into the sky, headed eastward, and landed in Lillian Bernhardt's backyard in Worthington, less than 2 miles from Ohio State University. You know, Ohio State University's Don Scott Airfield. Mm-hmm. No one was aboard. No one was injured. We reported the remnants of a battered blimp was draped over Bernhagen's picnic table and bird feeders, covering half her backyard.
I looked out the window and I said, wow.
Storms had limited the options authorities had to find a blimp until it was spotted in Bernhagen's yard. The Federal Aviation Administration tried to locate it via radar, while its owner tried to see it from the ground, said State Police spokesman Lieutenant Randy Zupanik. As crews dismantled and inspected the blimp Sunday morning, Bernhagen snapped photos to share with relatives and talk about the surprise that forced her to miss her church service.
It's really quite an occasion to have a blimp land in your yard. Bernhagen said it appeared the blimp, which was removed by mid-afternoon, had toppled a small tree and slightly bent a corner awning along my roof, but didn't do any major damage to my home. I didn't expect to see it on the ground, she said. I've only ever seen one in the air.
The blimp advertisers, Hangar One Vodka, and is on tour for about 20 cities under the direction of an Orlando-based, Florida-based airship advertiser called the Lightship Group, said Toby Page, the group's marketing director. The blimp won't make its next planned stop in Detroit on Thursday.
TLGE will investigate what happened, but at this time there is nothing to indicate that it was any more than a freak thunderstorm, Page said on Sunday afternoon, noting he had no concerns about how the blimp was tethered at the airport. Asked whether I might try the vodka, I joked that I might need a drink after such ruckus. Keep my day job, I know.
No, I was just laughing because somebody had to make the statement that it won't make its next scheduled stop in Detroit. You think? Sorry.
Oh, my, yes.
That was a bad one.
Yeah. That was a bad one. Here's from All Weird News. This is a new one I found this weekend.
AllWeirdNews.com. Okay.
Airplane ride in a toilet?
What?
Yes. A New York man who says he was denied a seat on a 5-hour JetBlue flight and was instead told to hang out in the plane's bathroom has sued the airline for $2 million, saying he suffered from extreme humiliation. The man, Gohan Mutli, arrived to check in for a JetBlue flight from San Diego to New York and was told the flight was full, according to the lawsuit filed in New York State Supreme Court. But Mutla was allowed to board after a JetBlue flight attendant agreed to give up her seat and travel in an airline employee jump seat. It was not clear in the lawsuit whether the flight attendant was working or not.
Ow.
However, 90 minutes into the flight, The pilot told Mutlu the flight attendant was uncomfortable and he would have to give up his seat and hang out in the bathroom for the remainder of the flight, the lawsuit said.
The pilot became angry at his reluctance to comply and said Mutlu should be grateful for being on board, the lawsuit said. When Mutlu volunteered to sit in the jump seat, he was told it was reserved for airline personnel. At one point, the airline experienced turbulence, and Mutlu sat on the toilet seat without a seatbelt, causing him tremendous fear, the lawsuit says. JetBlue was not immediately available for comment, at least if the fear caused him to sit himself, he was in the right place. Seriously,
some days we edit before we go on air. Some days we forget.
Yes, the word was not sit. Fill in the H. You got it all made up.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, why would JetBlue not try and settle this by giving free airfare or something? This story is an embarrassment to the company.
And possibly this radio station. I'm so sorry, David.
I caught it.
Yeah.
I just didn't blindly read it.
I'm sorry. It was late last night. Yeah. We have a plethora of jokes.
Ooh.
Here, just kind of interesting thoughts from cracked.com. Cracked.com, one of my favorite websites.
Cracked it is.
Yes. First one is, be nice to your flight attendants, or they'll leave you on a plane after an incident.
Flight attendants are getting older. Now, instead of eye candy serving your meal, you have your mother telling you to finish your vegetables.
The first recorded flight attendant was on the Zeppelin LZ-10 in 1911. It was a hard, tough time. With appropriately hard, tough stewards. He is apparently still flying for Delta.
Oh. Female flight attendants, originally nurses hired to deal with passengers who simply could not cope with traveling at 70 miles per hour, 500 feet in the air, have had to take on many new responsibilities. Mainly, the responsibility to look after the passengers and the flight deck while looking alluring.
So this leads us to some simple rules for passengers.
Simple rules.
I think you should carry this in a card in your wallet, Joe.
There we go.
Yeah. Rule number one, the implants your stewardess is showing off are not emergency flotation devices. No grabbing, even in an emergency.
Darn. Rule number two, wait your turn. While you are whining about one too few ice cubes in your water, the starving guy at the back of the cabin is getting ready to kill someone, and you won't be going near him, will you?
Rule number three, sit down and fasten your seatbelt when told. All flight attendants are trained in teapot combat.
Ta-da.
That would be combat with the teapot.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's better than the frying pan. Rule number four, always return the pen you borrowed. We really cannot stress this enough.
That's simple rules for all businesses. We just plug it in as number four every time. Rule number five, flight attendants are paid to be polite to you. They don't really care about your life story. Yes, yes, yes.
love it.
I found real flight announcements. Have you ever been on, is it Northwest Airlines, that they train their flight attendants to actually say funny things?
Southwest.
One of those directions.
Yes.
Yeah. North.
Love Southwest.
Yes, I love Southwest. Well, this is from ahajokes.com. These are real flight announcements.
All right.
Yes, I love these. I'll do my best flight announcement voice. Oh, no, this is the introduction, so I won't do it.
No, not yet.
Occasionally, airline attendants make an effort to make the in-flight safety lecture and their other announcements a bit more entertaining. Here are some real examples that have been heard or reported.
There may be 50 ways to leave your lover, but there are only 4 ways out of this airplane.
This is the pilot. Folks, we have reached our cruising altitude now, so I'm going to switch the seatbelt sign off. Feel free to move about as you wish, but please stay inside the plane until we've landed. It's a bit cold outside, and if you walk on the wings, it affects the flight pattern.
And after landing, thank you for flying business, Delta Business Express. We hope you enjoyed giving us the business as much as we enjoyed taking you for a ride. As the plane landed and was coming to a stop at Washington National, a lone voice comes over the loudspeaker. Whoa, big fella, whoa.
Hello, I'm your flight attendant, Kat. Welcome aboard Southwest Flight XXX to YYY. To operate your seatbelt, insert the metal tab into the buckle and pull tight. It works just like every other seatbelt, and if you don't know how to operate one, you probably shouldn't be out in public unsupervised. In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will descend from the ceiling. Stop screaming, grab the mask, and pull it over your face. If you have a small child traveling with you, secure your mask before assisting with theirs. If you are traveling with two small children, decide now which one you love more.
Weather at our destination is 50 degrees with some broken clouds, but they'll try to have them fixed before we arrived. Thank you, and remember, nobody loves you or your money more than Southwest Airlines.
As you exit the plane, please make sure to gather all of your belongings. Anything left behind will be distributed evenly among the flight attendants. Please do not leave children or spouses.
Last one off. The plane must clean it.
From the pilot, we are pleased to have some of the best flight attendants in the industry. Unfortunately, none of them are on this flight.
Heard on Southwest Airlines just after a very hard landing in Salt Lake City, the flight attendant came on the intercom and said, "That was quite a bump, and I know y'all are thinking, I'm here to tell you it wasn't the airline's fault, it wasn't the pilot's fault, it wasn't the flight attendant's fault. It was the asphalt."
And on that same landing, we ask you to please remain seated as Captain Kangaroo bounces us to the terminal.
After a real crusher of a landing in Phoenix, the flight attendant came on with, "Ladies and gentlemen, please remain in your seats until Captain Crash and the crew have brought the aircraft to a screeching halt up against the gate. And once the tire smoke is cleared and the warning bells have been silenced, we'll open the door and you can pick your way through the wreckage to the terminal."
And finally, we'd like to thank you folks for flying with us today, and the next time you get the insane urge to go blasting through the skies in a pressurized metal tube, we hope you'll think of us here at U.S. Airways. Have a nice day.
Are you afraid yet?
I'm pretty afraid. Yeah. I think we need to do what I want to be when I grow up.
What I want to be when I grow up.
Page 13 at the bottom. Okay. This was written by fifth graders.
I got it.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. When I grow up, I want to be a pilot because it's a fun job and easy to do. That's why there are so many pilots flying around these days.
Pilots don't need much school. They just have to learn to read numbers so they can read their instruments. I guess they should be able to read a roadmap, too.
Pilots should be brave so they don't get scared when it's foggy and they can't see or if a wing or the motor falls off.
I hope I don't get car sick or air sick because I get car sick, and if I get air sick, I could be a pilot and then I'd have to go to work.
Yes, that's my favorite one. That's my favorite one.
Yes. What are we doing?
We're skipping over this stuff that somebody put in our script that's just really awful.
Bad.
Yeah.
What page?
We're reading another.
17.
Actually, this is Problems and Solutions. It's kind of like a top five list, but it's a top not numbered list. This actually comes from www.airgod.com. And it is, I'm going to read the P, the problem that was logged by the pilot, and you're going to read the S, the solution that was logged by the mechanic.
Solution logged by the mechanic.
Yes, so I wrote this on my my problem log. Left inside, main tire almost needs replacement.
Solution. Almost replaced left inside main tire.
Problem. Test flight okay, except auto land very rough air. Very, very rough.
Solution. Auto land not installed on this aircraft.
Problem. Something loose in the cockpit.
Solution. Something tightened in the cockpit.
Problem. Dead bug on windshield.
Live bugs on back order.
Evidence of leak on the right main landing gear.
Evidence removed.
DMV volume unbelievably loud.
DMV volume set to a more believable level.
Transponder inoperative.
Transponder always inoperative in the off mode.
Suspect a crack in the windshield.
Suspect you're right.
Number three engine missing.
Engine found on right wing after brief search.
Aircraft handles funny.
Aircraft warm to straighten up, fly right, and be serious.
The radar hums.
Reprogram radar with words.
Mouse in cockpit.
Cat installed.
Radio switches stick.
peanut butter no longer served to flight crew.
There's a funny smell in the cockpit.
Pilot told to change cologne.
Aircraft is over the 2,400-pound over max weight limit.
Aircraft put on a diet of 92 octane.
The number three engine runs like it's sick.
Number three engine diagnosed with a hangover.
Brakes howl on application.
Don't step on them so hard.
Oh. Radio sounds like a squealing pig.
Removed pig from radar, radio, barbecue behind hangar tomorrow.
Air conditioning motor makes a loud squeal like my mother-in-law.
Recommend divorce.
Yes, that's funny. Is that funny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, it's our favorite time.
It is? What time is it?
Ruminamination.
Ruminations. Ruminations.
Where we get to drink rum.
No. Now, if you subscribe to ruminate.com, you actually are a member of Club Rum, and that's how your email comes to you. It says here from Club Rum, tasty morsels of twisted thought. Again, that's ruminate.com, brought to you by the same makers of top5.com.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. And our first rumination is by Mark Sabian, which he also writes for slightlyamusing.com. He's a good friend with the guy that writes ruminate.com/top5.com. To me, a black hole looks a lot like a cosmic toilet bowl vortex, spirally sucking everything down. I can't help but think somewhere there's a related celestial sewer where all the stuff goes, like likely patrolled by your typical nuclear waste mutated alligator and evil snaggletooth child-eating clown. This, my friends, is why I could never be an astronaut.
Wait. The saying is, look before you leap. Dang. No wonder my life is so screwed up. The convert comic.
Covert comic.
Covert.
Do I have to start
comic
helping you pronounce words?
No, we're having a great day.
Okay. And if helicopters are so safe, how come there are no vintage classic helicopter fly-ins?
Don't ask. Don't tell.
No, that's a whole other topic. Yeah. You know what time it is.
Ta-da.
Time for another.
Top 15,527 list.
Or 12.
Or 12.
Yes. The top 12 airport security pickup lines.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yes, and I had to clean these up so that Dave wouldn't have a heart attack.
Okay, cool. Number 12. And if I might be so bold, Mom, I don't think you'll be needing your seat cushion as a flotation device.
What do you say we dump Grandma out of here off the golf cart and go cruising?
Number 10. Can I be your overnight case?
Number 9. Could you come this way, please, sir? You have seemed to have set off my love detector.
Number 8. I don't think you can board this flight because, honey, your body is a lethal weapon.
Is that how you pick up girls, Joe?
Baby doll, if it works.
Okay. Number 7. Are you tired? Because you've been running past the security checkpoints in my head all day.
Number 6. If I said you had a stun gun, plastic explosive, and a tear gas canister in your brassiere, would you hold it against me?
Number 5. I've been checking your luggage ever since you got out of that taxi cab.
Number 4. Once you've been frisked by me, you'll never go through private security again.
And number 3. Psst. You want to join the X-ray club?
Number 2. Somebody better slap the cuffs on you because you just hijacked my heart.
And the airport. Number 1 airport security pickup line.
Were you carrying that laptop when you fell from heaven?
Yeah. Oh, Irish blessings were hard to find.
Okay.
But I found kind of one. Kind of one. May your guardian angel be at your side to pick you up the floor.
And hand you another cold stout from the store.
Yes. That's all we have for today, sadly.
Sadly.
Who are you? Oh, I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're
Kat Soup,
the best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a blessed week.
Getting my dinner from a garbage can.